Do you know the difference between right and wrong? We all do. And Pastor Al Pittman is here to remind us of where that sense comes from.
Where do we get our laws from? Where do we get the sense of right and wrong from? Where does it come from? Evolution? It comes from the Spirit of God and the Word of God that convicts the soul and the heart of man. The Spirit says, come. Don't be condemned. Be set free. Don't die. Live. And the bride says, come. Who's the bride? The church. What is the message of the church? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
We all receive invitations from time to time, whether it's for a birthday party, wedding, or another credit card. Invitations are pretty common, but some invitations carry a little more weight than others, don't they? An invitation to the White House, for example, would be deemed pretty important. Well, what about an invitation given to you by God Himself? Well, it couldn't get any better than that, could it? You're listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. We'll be finishing up our study of Revelation today with an awesome invitation from God and a glimpse of eternal glory. Here's Pastor Al to tell us all about it.
In verses 2 and 3, it says that on both sides of this river, there's a tree of life, literally trees of life. Many believe that there are trees, these trees of life line the river that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb there in the New Jerusalem. But it says here that the nations are healed by the leaves of the tree. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know there's no sickness in the New Jerusalem, so what does it mean? I believe it is symbolic as the river, that as the river flows representing life, so the leaves of the tree is representative of the healing virtues of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the leaves of these trees, the very existence of these trees represent symbolically the cross, God's redemptive tree of life for you and for me. That has brought healing to all ethnos, to all peoples. That has brought healing to the nations. In fact, it says, because there is a tree of life there, that it has nullified the curse. There is no curse in the New Jerusalem, no curse in the earth. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. What did Jesus come to do? He came to be a curse for us. And then he goes on to explain. Paul says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a what?
Tree.
On a tree. Jesus hung on a tree. The cross was a tree of life for all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him. Amen. That we might be born again by the Spirit of God, by his death on the tree of life. So the trees of life represent the healing of the nations. But God put a tree of life in the garden in the very beginning. Amen. And now we see the tree of life here. But he provided for us a tree of life through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, who was cursed on a tree for us, that we might have life everlasting. And verse 4 says that we will see his face. We will see his face. We will see the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Look forward to that day. And notice here in verses 3 to 5, where the throne of God and the Lamb resides, there is no curse and there is no darkness. It's the same for us today. Where the throne of Christ and the Father resides, the throne of God and the Lamb resides in the heart of an individual, there is no curse. There is no darkness. Amen. For God is light. Amen. And we must walk in the light, the Bible says, as Jesus is in the light. There is no curse. There is no darkness. There is no night there where the throne of God and the Lamb resides. But rather, there are four attributes I find here of our relationship with Christ at that time, but that we can experience even now. The first one has to do with service. The Bible says that we will serve the Lord. Amen. We will serve him, and indeed we serve him now. It says, and his servants shall serve him. That word service can literally be translated worship. We worship him. Another attribute of our relationship with the Lord is intimacy. The scripture says we will see him face to face. We will see his face. Another attribute, if you will, of our relationship with him is identity. You know, as believers, we know who we are. The Bible says we've been given a right through Jesus Christ to be called children of God. He has placed his mark upon our foreheads, the Bible says here. Amen. In verse 4. And then also, he is our light, verse 5. There's no need for any light there. Why? Because God gives them light. And Christ gives us light even now. He is our illumination. He gives us revelation. He gives us wisdom and understanding. He is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen? Amen. So those virtues, those attributes apply to our lives even now. We don't have to wait till the New Jerusalem. They apply to our lives even right now. Now, verses 6 to 11, as we continue on, it says, "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true.' And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants, plural, the things which must shortly take place." And look at God's perspective. Shortly must take place. And then Jesus chimes in verse 7 and says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." What book? The book of Revelation. This is not something to be read and to be, oh, you know, it's just fantasy land. No, those who keep the words of this prophecy, who believe in them. In verse 8, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I saw, heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and I and of your brethren, the prophet. The prophets and of those who keep the words of this book.'" Then he says, "Worship God." He told him this one other time, right? Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. John is overwhelmed and he falls down to worship this angel that is revealing these things to him. And angel says, "Don't do that. Don't worship me. Worship God." Amen. And so this is the second time he's having to tell John that. And I'm really encouraged by this. That, you know, like John, even John had to be reminded to not allow the distractions to keep you from keeping the main thing, amen? Even John had to be reminded. So I'm like, okay, all right, I'm cool, all right. Because God has to often remind me the same thing. Keep the main thing. What is that? Worship God. Did Jesus not say, "Seek ye first," amen, the kingdom of God? Not second, not third, but first. And then all these other things will be added to you in your life. But seek first, worship God. We're all, you know, wrapped around the axle of something, and what we ought to be doing is worshiping God, seeking first his kingdom. That's the priority that we ought to have in our life. So he reminds John of this very thing. So if John can mess up, I guess I'm in good company. Amen. We all need to be reminded of that. Verses 10 and 11, he says, "Do not seal the book." Amen. Here in verse 10, let me read it. He says, "And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.'" Again, look at God's perspective. Jesus said, "I'm coming quickly. The time is short. Time is at hand. Don't even seal it. Don't have time to seal it." When Daniel received end times prophecy, they said, "Seal this up, because it is yet future. It's way off." But here he tells Jesus, he tells John, "Don't seal it up, because it's going to happen real quick, suddenly." And then in verse 11, what does this mean? He says, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." Amen? So one counters the other. Unjust, righteous, filthy, holy. He's talking about the saved and unsaved. And so what is he saying here? He's basically saying that the Lord is going to come so quickly, so suddenly, that in whatever state he finds you in, that you will continue in. That's what he's saying. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul declares, concerning the return of Jesus Christ, he says, "I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, not trying to be good enough, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." How will you be found when Jesus returns? Unjust, filthy, or righteous and holy? And we can't be righteous and holy in and of ourselves, but righteous and holy because of his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's not according to our goodness, but his righteousness. Amen. Paul said, "I want to be found in his righteousness." Amen. I don't want to be found in my righteousness, because my righteousness is not enough. Only Christ's righteousness is will justify us before a holy God. In verses 12 to 15, Jesus speaking again in verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly. There he is. He's like, this is a warning, folks. We think we got all this time, and we're at the end. These are the last days. I'm coming quickly, and my reward, he's speaking to believers here, my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. What work? Work for righteousness to earn our salvation? No, works that we have done in Jesus Christ. Our works will be judged in him, remember, the Bible tells us. And he has his reward with him. Then he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. Amen. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. It's almost like, you know, they're like giving us a little heads up saying, hey, come on, blessed are those who do his word. You know, you can't just say, hear his word and just read his word, but we must do his word. We must put feet to our faith. Amen. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Amen.
We'll pause here for a moment, and Pastor Al will be right back with the second half of today's message in Revelation 22. At The Dwelling Place, our number one goal is to share the gospel message with everyone who has an ear to hear. Would you consider becoming a financial partner with us as we seek to equip the world with good news of salvation through faith in Christ? To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now let's join Pastor Al once again for the second half of today's message in Revelation 22.
Outside, those who are outside of Christ. That sounds harsh, and it is harsh. I think the Lord means it to be harsh here, to wake mankind up to the very fact that apart from God, we are merely existing. We only exist in an animalistic state. We're just living for ourselves. We are trying to get all we can. It's all about us. You know, I mean, you know, and he likens that to being like a dog. You know, my dog loves us and all that, but my dog, you know, doesn't, you know, eat to live. It lives to eat. I mean, I could be eating, you know, jelly beans just sitting right there. Bananas. It doesn't matter. You know, I got popcorn or something. I'm going to end up, you know, I spoil her. I end up throwing stuff on the floor. She's like, boy, she just sits there, you know. And I just feed her. I just fed her. And she's still hungry. It's like, you know, it's a lab. Labs are known to just want to eat all the time. But, you know, like dogs are concerned about their own flesh. They do things dogs do. And sometimes I've heard it said that we teach our children in school that they've evolved from animals. They're just a higher form of animals. And then when they act like animals, we're shocked. Amen. So, you know, they act like an animal. Well, what's wrong with you? Well, you said I was an animal. I'm evolving, Dad. Let me have the car keys. Oh. But the reality is that that's what we relegated ourselves to. And God is saying, let me tell you the truth. You know, you act like dogs, you know. I mean, guys call each other dogs sometimes. Why do we call each other dogs? Amen. Hey, dog, what's up, dog? What's going on, dog? Because the dog is out for himself, baby. Amen. You know what I'm saying? All right, anyway. So, you know, really, that's the meaning behind that. I'm not calling you prince, calling you dog. Amen, brother, amen. All right. He says, and whoever loves and practices a lie, the latter part of verse 15, that word practice, the Greek word poieo, it means to make, to specialize in sins. You know, you have to love a lie in order to reject the truth. You have to love a lie, the lie that everything, that you are your own God, you're the captain of your ship, that all the money is going to bring you satisfaction or more sex is going to make you happy. You have to love a lie in order to reject the truth. And those who love a lie, who practice a lie, those who make, it takes effort to make and to specialize in sin, to stand by that lie even when you're facing the truth. You have to love a lie in order to reject the truth. And people do it all the time. But the truth is, only God can satisfy your soul. Psalm 107 says, where he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. In verses 16 to 21, as we close out this great book, we have a testimony, we have a warning, and we have a promise. The testimony is of Christ. Jesus said, I, Jesus, amen. He wants you to know who he is. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. And the churches in particular that he's speaking about is the church as a whole, but in particular, the churches of Asia Minor. Remember, the book started out with the Lord addressing the churches, seven churches of Asia Minor. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. In other words, I am the Messiah. I am that bright and morning star. I am the splendor and glory of my own kingdom. I am the hope of the world. I am that promised Messiah. And then he says, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears, come, say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. You got to be thirsty. You got to be thirsty to come. Some people haven't come because they're not thirsty enough, but one day you'll be thirsty. But whoever thirsts, come. And then he says, whoever desires, let him take the water of life at no charge. At no charge. To whoever will come, it's freely offered the water of everlasting life through faith in Christ. He says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Why the Spirit and the bride? Because the Spirit has been placed in the world to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. To draw men to Christ. In fact, no one can come to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit is drawing them. And the Holy Spirit is drawing some of you even today. Watching online over at Creekside or here in his auditorium, in this building. God's speaking to you. You know it's God. And he sent his Holy Spirit to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Where do we get our laws from? Where do we get the sense of right and wrong from? Where does it come from? Evolution? It comes from the Spirit of God and the Word of God that convicts the soul and the heart of man. The Spirit says, come. Don't be condemned. Be set free. Don't die. Live. And the bride says, come. Who's the bride? The church. What is the message of the church? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we abandon the gospel for issues, social issues, and for all types of other philosophy that is in the world, we have lost our message, and we're no use to God. We're salt without savor to be thrown out onto the street of the world and to be trampled underfoot by men. We're no good to the kingdom of God. The bride say, come. And that's what we're doing at the Pikes Peak Center. When we meet there at Easter, we are going out telling the world to come. Amen, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is our message. This is our movement as the church. The second thing we find here is a warning. The testimony of Jesus, the second thing is a warning, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. John says, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, some people, first and foremost, is a warning, you know. And this is why when I approach this book, I've told you in the beginning, I'm just going to teach as we go through it. There's some things we may speculate on, but I'm not going to add or I'm not going to delete from it. There's some things written here I just don't know. You know, the exact meaning of it. But I'm going to teach it as it is. And there's a warning to add or to delete from this book, not to mention the whole counsel of God, but in particular this book. And so there's a warning here that he issues, that John issues here to those who would do so. And people say, well, wow, and if you do that, you're going to lose your salvation because it says that he'll take your part away, you know, from the book of life. Well, listen, remember what I said last week. Everybody's written in the book of life. God blots names out. He doesn't add names. Remember we talked about that? He blots the names out. When people reject Christ, when people turn away from God, he blots your name out. And my point here in saying that is that the people here are being blotted out because they've never been born again. They're adding to the book. They're deleting from the book. They've never been born again. Why do I say that? Because if you're adding to the word and deleting from the word, you don't believe the word. And without the word, you can't be saved. And John says in 1 John, he said, they went out from us. They were among us. They looked like Christians. They smelled like Christians, but they went out from us that it might be manifested that they were never of us. Amen. So there are many who sit in the church today who look like us, but they're not of us. And only God knows. And he knows it all. And so these people here that are blotted out, that their names are removed from the book of life and all, these are folks who never come to Christ. How can you be saved if you don't believe the word? Amen. And God honors his word above his name. Psalm 138 verse 2 tells us, God magnifies his word above his name. The third thing we find here at the end of the book is a promise. Verse 20, and he who testifies to these things says, and here's the promise, Jesus saying, surely I am coming quickly. Whew. See, from God's perspective, you're running out of time. He says, I'm coming quickly. That's a promise. And John says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Then he ends the book with grace. What a fitting end to the book, the last book of the Bible, because it all begins with grace and it ends with grace. And his grace is sufficient for us. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
That wraps up our series through the book of Revelation. It's our prayer that this series has not only shown you what the future will bring as we await the return of Jesus, but that you've been challenged to be ready for his return, and that you'll do your best to get those around you prepared as well. And don't forget that Pastor Al's book, titled Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, is available at cwccs.org, or your favorite online book source. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift, or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center at either our Creekside or Westside campus. You'll find directions and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Now, here's a special message from Pastor Al.
Today in America, our nation is divided. In an atmosphere of racial, social, political, and economic upheaval, many families and individuals are searching for rest. Hi, I'm Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center here in Colorado Springs. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest he spoke about is not just a few days away from the turmoil of this world, but rest for the soul. Rest which can only be found in a right relationship with God. You can have eternal rest in Christ today by simply repeating this prayer after me. Wherever you are, simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I confess I'm a sinner. Come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Go to cwccs.org/Jesus, and we will send you free information to help you in your new life in Christ. God bless.
Be sure to join us next time as we begin a new series in the book of Acts. If you get a chance, read Acts 1 and then be with us as we begin a series in this great book. Dwelling Place.